from deep inside your radio.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, the finger pointing can end. The time has come to put an end to the finger pointing. And, you know, as we approach the 11-month anniversary of something that we'll be celebrating, the 12-month anniversary of just a little more than a month from now, it is time, I say, to put an end to the finger pointing. I don't care why certain parts of this broadcast sounded low in level last week on the stations that carried this program live. I just, you know, it's behind us now. Because I got email all week long from people saying, no, it was the radio. No, it was the network. No, it was the thing. It was the phone. It was the thing. It was the satellite. It was the guy. It was the kids. It's the kids, basically. That's what I believe. It's the kids. Ladies and gentlemen, we can't end all finger pointing just yet, contrary to popular belief. Dateline Denver, the Federal Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is being stymied. How can Centers is being stymied? Chicago Tribune, ladies and gentlemen. Chicago Tribune Grammar Department. The Federal Centers for Disease Control is being stymied. Anyway, onward. Is being stymied in its investigation of illnesses related to that huge beef recall because the CDC, the Centers for Disease Control, cannot gain access to information about which strains of deadly bacteria were making people sick or could make people sick. Trying to gauge the effect on public health from the second largest meat recall in America's history is proving more difficult than expected. That's that 19 million pounds of fresh and frozen ground beef recalled by ConAgra Beef on July 19th, just 3 months after they put it out on the market. Why can the CDC not figure out exactly the extent of the possible illnesses that were caused by the beef? Because ConAgra has not provided samples of the bacteria that contaminated its beef. That material is private property, and the CDC has no legal right to it. So CDC researchers cannot know exactly which bacterial strains they're looking for matches with bacteria from people who have become ill and mapping the full scope of the outbreak. So here's my deal, ladies and gentlemen. President George W. Bush wants to privatize some accounts for younger people in the Social Security system. I say, let them privatize Social Security, but make the bacteria public. That's my, you know, because we have to bring people together without the bacteria. But bringing people together is what we do here on Hello, Welcome to the Show.
I wonder where the hole came from. In the deeps of my heart, made me yearn for the drought. It's the same place where the crosses burn, the same place where the loss was earned. It's the place where the floss was yearned. Gold teeth and bling, ice on the rings, baby, sure. Yo, we all got things that hang on our back, things that make us cool, things that make us whack, things that make us mad, things we wish we never had done. But they're just the things that make us real. Not the maps to guide where we go from here. The road twists and braids like hair until we all get there. I don't know some mysteries. ancient things and beginnings. Excited about the day when I don't have to hear all the theories. My scalp needs some grease in the same place where the cross is burned, the same place where the loss was earned. The only way we all can learn is if we have these brains with the twist and turn. So we all got things that hang on our back, things that make us cool, things that make us whack, things that make us mad, things we wish we never had done. But they're just the things that make us real, not the maps to guide where we go from here. The road twists and braids like hair until we all get there.
In the race of life, looking for my own pace, not always wanting to, but I have to. Sometimes feeling like I've bitten up much more than I can chew. But the wind goes through my hand, lifts me up with ease. Not a crease, hair full of grease, no weave embracing me. It's you I see. I am you and you are me, I see, yeah. I am you and you are me, I see, yeah.
We might survive as brothers, yeah. All perish here as fools. Don't place your bets, don't get too soon. Yeah, you might find me in another field, like someone you will do. You know that face, yeah, we all do. We might survive as brothers, yeah. All perish here as fools. Don't place your bets.
Enough to take away the anguish in our
From the edge of America, from... It's still the home of the homeless, isn't it? Yep, they're still sleeping in doorways. Hello, welcome to the show. I'm Harry Shearer. Although downtown merchants in Santa Monica are trying to get a crackdown on people sleeping in doorways. So, you know, the title is up for grabs, I say. If your town wants to be the home of the homeless, let us know. Because think arrangements can be made for melodies to be played. Ladies and gentlemen, talk about burying the lead. This is a cliche in the news business, in the journalism business. The lead is the first sentence in the story, and in conventional journalism, it's supposed to contain the most important elements of the story, i.e., why you're reading it. I know this may confuse regular readers of the Los Angeles Dog Trainer, who have to dig through 28 paragraphs to find out why they're reading the story, but conventional journalism practice has it that you're supposed to not bury the lead. So we have a story in Thursday's New York Times. Microsoft tries to explain what its .NET plans are about. This is from the business section, about Microsoft's new, they're trying to control the internet or something. I don't know. Anyway, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 paragraphs go by. 16th paragraph starts with this. Microsoft also warned today that the era of open computing, the free exchange of digital information that has defined the personal computer industry, is ending. 16 paragraphs. And they declare the end of the free exchange of information via computers. That wouldn't be a big story, would it? That wouldn't be the lead. Fortunately, it's just Microsoft saying that, so you don't have to worry. Here's an excuse I'm planning to use the very next time I can, ladies and gentlemen. A local landscape, local not in my area, I think it's in Southern Connecticut. Southern Connecticut landscape designer is suing CNN news anchor Paula Zahn and her husband for failing to pay in full for extensive landscaping at the couple's Greenwich home, according to documents filed in state superior court in Stamford, Connecticut. Memory Lewis. Memory, M-E-M-R-I-E, in case you're looking for a name for your new kid. Memory alleges that as a designer, she hired other firms to do the work that Mr. Robert Cohen and his wife, Paula Zahn, wanted on their home, an agreement laid out in the contract. The couple has not paid about $100,000 for services rendered. The complaint lists 7 counts, including breach of written and oral contracts, blah, blah, blah. That's not the interesting part. Here's the interesting part. 4 paragraphs down. Not too buried, the lead. Last week, the lawyer representing Zahn and her husband filed a motion for a protective order arguing that Zahn should not be forced to have a deposition taken because she has, quote, celebrity status, unquote, and is unfamiliar with the landscape work, having delegated it to her husband. Taking Ms. Zahn's celebrity status into account and combining that status with her complete lack of knowledge of any of the facts relevant to this case, the taking of Ms. Zahn's deposition is clearly designed to harass, annoy, oppress, and intimidate, and therefore the court should grant this motion for protective order, said the attorney for the defendants. Nicole Anker. More in sorrow than an anchor, I guess, but that's right. The lawyer for a television news anchor is named Anker. I didn't write it. I'm just reading it. It's here on the thing. Attorney for anchor is for an anchor named Zahn is named Anchor. The opposing attorney, Eric Postmontier, man, the name's in Connecticut. Eric Postmontier filed a motion objecting to Zahn's request for a protective order, arguing that her fame should not prevent her involvement in the deposition. The plaintiff respectfully asserts the court should be offended at the defendant's argument that her self-proclaimed celebrity status somehow renders her immune from the laws of the state. It would have been a good attempt for Bill Clinton to try to avoid testifying in the deposition of that Paula Jones thing. Man, he was a celebrity. Supreme Court said, yeah, he's just the president. But anyway, Paula Zahn attempting not to testify this week because of her celebrity status. Somehow I hope she wins that, because I would love never to have to testify. And now, ladies and gentlemen, maintenance.
We're so sorry.
It's our apology of the week. When the machines work, I should have remembered. I'm back home. Machines don't work. I'm home. It's the apologies of the week, ladies and gentlemen. And there's some. It wasn't a great week for apology. It was a good week. First of all, a radio station KSJO FM in San Jose, California, has apologized for the on-the-air performance of its shock jock, Mikey Esparza. Now, keep in mind, radio station hires this guy, puts him on in the morning, and tells him, be a shock jock. And then they apologize for him, because after a sidekick read a news item last Wednesday about the 7-year-old Philadelphia girl who escaped her kidnappers by chewing through duct tape, Mikey Esparza, the shock jock on KSJO, said, quote, that's why I don't use duct tape. That's why I use nylon rope. After a commercial break, he suggested kidnappers buy tarps and use lye to dispose of murder victims. Hey, that's just good comedy. It's a shock jock. What do you expect? You put these... KSJO suspended Esparza for a week. Yeah, he's going to learn how to be funny in a week. Mikey, come on down. I got a week's worth of lessons for you right here. And they broadcast a formal apology to listeners.
Ladies and gentlemen, when we hired Mikey Esparza to be a shock jock, we had no idea he would actually shock.
Robert Torricelli, the Democratic senator from New Jersey, has apologized. The Senate Ethics Committee is weighing charges that he improperly accepted gifts and cash from, I think the man's name is David Chang, yes, a campaign contributor. Gifts and cash. The panel had received sales receipts, witness testimony, and other corroborations of at least two such gifts. Mr. Torricelli told reporters after he testified that he should have used better judgment in his relationship with David Chang, and he hopes to be fully vindicated. Quote, all I can do is apologize for the errors in judgment and also make clear the rules were not violated. These were never inappropriate gifts. He got a Toshiba projector television. It costs $1,800, paid for by Mr. Chang. And he also got a Scottish grandfather clock for $3,800. You know, if I'm in the United States Senator and I'm going to get bought, it's going to cost you more than a projection television and a grandfather clock. That's just me. But anyway, that's... Robert Torricelli apologized. And the president of NPR has apologized. No, not to me. To the Traditional Values Coalition, ladies and gentlemen. At a congressional hearing, public broadcasters were asking for more money to pay for their conversion to digital television. Oh, what's the approximate estimated cost of the conversion of public television to digital television right now? What would you say it is? How about $1.7 billion to convert public television to digital? So it'll be out of sync. And look, so much better. Really. Anyway, at that hearing, legislators spent much of the time criticizing NPR for airing a report that appeared to connect the Traditional Values Coalition, a conservative Christian group, with some kind of suspicious activities. The NPR president offered his personal and professional apology to the Traditional Values Coalition and its executive director, Andrea Lafferty. She refused to accept the apology, calling it mere theatrics, and urged Congress to strip NPR of its funding. Man. That would be in the annals of our apologies of the week, that would be the first refusal to accept the apology of the week. So I guess that's big. That would be big. I have no comment, of course. You can ask me privately what I think about NPR and its funding, but no, I have no comment on the radio. You know, Bank of America, ladies and gentlemen, well, we're sneaking into the trades here, aren't we? Yes, we are. So, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for me to read the trades for you early in today's broadcast, because these are good. They're all good, but these are good. I'm reading the trades for you. This is me doing that. And that was one machine that worked. One for two. First of all, from Ad Age, once again, NBC is looking to cream the competition. In an unusual deal to help its fall season premiere, NBC has struck a multi-million-dollar marketing deal with Baskin-Robbins, which will develop ice cream flavors for NBC shows, such as Fear Factor Sunday, Will and Grace's Rocky Road Romance, Good Morning Miami Mint, Stucky Boldover Brownie, and Pralines and American Dreams for Dick Clark's New American Dreams show. Baskin-Robbins will roll out its must-taste lineup of treats in stores from September 3 through October 27th. Now, Fear Factor is that show where they make people eat bugs. So an ice cream named after that. They don't say here whether that's going to have bugs in it or just be bug-flavored. Oh, I see. Here it is. The Fear Factor Sundae can be made with any flavor ice cream topped with broken Oreo cookies and green gummy spiders. It looks like you're eating dirt with green spiders, says John Miller, co-president of the NBC agency. The effort is to bring consumers a chance to experience a friendlier version of the show where contestants eat real insects. NBC's Sunday night will be anchored by American Dream, a show set in the 60s about a girl in Philadelphia who wants to dance on American Bandstand, says Mr. Miller. The Sunday shows are looking for an extra boost. I seek more explanation of Will and Grace's Rocky Road of Romance, but find none here. That would be perhaps Baskin-Robbins' first double entendre ice cream. And from the advertising column of the Wall Street Journal, Bank of America is putting commercials on the screens of its automated teller machines. There's nothing you can do, says a retired lawyer who discovered it one day while visiting and trying to use a Bank of America ATM. You can't turn it off. You can't walk away. You're trapped. It's like the nightmare advertising you hear about happening in the future. Bank of America executives say they know some people don't like ATM ads, but research shows consumers will tolerate certain ads if they're for products or services in which the consumers are interested. The ad Mr. Culver, the retired lawyer, was exposed to was a 7-second ad of Connie Chung promoting her new CNN show. The commercial stops when a customer inserts a card into the machine, but ads also run while the transaction is being completed. CNN says it has been pleased with the promotion. We didn't have to be convinced, says Larry Goodman, president of CNN Ad Sales. It was innovative and hadn't been done before. It was a place to have some exclusivity. Dan Sullivan, a senior vice president of Bank of America, says the company hopes to offset some of the continuing expenses of upgrading its large ATM network. Upgrading is costly, ranging from $6,000 to $12,000 per machine. What are they doing in the expense of upgrading? Well, it'll allow the bank to introduce new features customers might like, such as the ability to reorder new checks, view old ones, or there would be maybe more features that generate revenue for the bank, such as running more ads. So they're running ads to pay for the cost of upgrading so they can run more ads, ladies and gentlemen. You didn't dream that. You don't dream any of this when I read the trades for you. It's... sure, it's a copyrighted feature. What of it?
Presente, o homem na retoma de vidro. São raros instantes de alívio e deleite. Ele descobre o véu que esconde o desconhecido. O desconhecido. E é como uma tomada à distância numa grande angular. É como se nunca tivesse existido dúvida. Decide o que nele guardar. Mas a razão prevalece, impõe seus limites. E ele se permite esquecer de lembrar. Esquecer de lembrar. É como se passasse a vida inteira eternizando a miragem. Como o capuz negro que cega o falcão selvagem. O falcão selvagem. Extinte a repressão. Diz aí o que é que tem no sótão. O que é que tem no sótão. O que é que tem no sótão. Se na cabeça do homem tem um porão, onde mora extinte a repressão. E diz aí o que é que tem no sótão. 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 O que é que tem no sótão.
This is Le Show, and they found and rescued the miners, so now we can go back to obsessing about the kidnapped children. Which, by the way, the number of children being kidnapped every year is going down. You might not have that impression because it's almost August, and they got to obsess about something. But it's true. It's the milk. I think it's the milk. Anyway, ladies, apropos of the miners, though. This was Friday night on the new improved CNN. Aaron Brown, he's they're one of their new star anchors over at CNN. I don't think his lawyer is Ms. Anchor, but he's an anchor at CNN, like Paula Zahn. This is a theme show, isn't it? And this was Friday night, Aaron Brown introducing his story about the miners. And it was important for him to point out this. It was important, apparently, for him to stress that the efforts to reach the miners were not frantic.
And that's where we start, the trapped coal miners and the efforts to save them. We ought to say right now that this is not a frantic effort as such. It is measured and professional and cool. The people manning the drills and operating the pumps don't need to be reminded how to do their jobs or what's at stake. They know, and they are not frantic. We've seen work like this before in other places, and it's never frantic. Neither is it easy, especially not today. Here's CNN's Jeff Locke.
Beneath a warm rain, family members watch the frantic efforts.
So it was frantic. Or Jeff didn't get the memo. or Aaron didn't see the piece. One of the three. Aaron Brown, ladies and gentlemen, you can depend on CNN because they're not frantic. They're frantic efforts to get ratings. Okay, what we thought may not be true, department. Passengers who fly aboard planes that recirculate cabin air are no more likely to catch colds than travelers on aircraft that pump in fresh air, according to a new study. Well, how about I don't believe this study? How about that? How about, Mr. AP, you're full of it. Well, okay. Still, all the air travelers in the study got a lot of colds, significantly more than would be expected in non-flyers. Health experts have long suspected that recirculated air carries more germs and causes more colds. Researchers call the latest findings encouraging because planes that pump in fresh air are being phased out in favor of less costly, more fuel-efficient models with ventilation systems that recirculate air. See, it's encouraging that they're saving money. Recirculation of cabin air did not emerge as a risk factor for the development of upper respiratory tract infection symptoms in our study. Dr. Jessica Nutick-Zitter of the University of California, San Francisco, and her colleagues wrote. It's published in the Journal of American Medical Association. Doesn't say whether the research was paid for by the airline industry. It did not. A week after their flights, 21% of the fresh air passengers and 19% of the recirculated air passengers reported having a cold. The incidence of colds in non-travelers is about 3%. They said the high number of colds could result from factors unrelated to cabin air, such as stress, sleep loss, and poor eating habits sometimes associated with travel. Like airline meals, you mean? Is that a delicate way of suggesting that they feed you crap? It's not the air that's the crap, it's the food. Judith Moravsky, an industrial hygienist for the Association of Flight Attendants, said the rate of colds in air travelers seemed high and could suggest that cabin air in general is poor. Many airlines use ventilation systems with filters designed to remove viruses and bacteria from recirculated air, but not all do, she said. It's also very dry in there. Maybe it's just something happens to your mucosal passages. They'll get all dried up, whether they're recirculated. That's my theory now. I'm changing my theory. And from the London Observer, an international team of scientific killjoys has discovered that what has been conventional wisdom recently, that wine is good for you, may be based on incorrect data. It's not the wine that helps drinkers live to a ripe old age. It's the lifestyle. According to the findings of scientists at Duke University and the Institute of Preventive Medicine in Copenhagen, don't call it Copenhagen, wine drinkers live longer, healthier lives because they consume more fruit and vegetables, have higher fiber intakes, and a lower prevalence of smoking. Teetotalers have the worst lifestyles. Take that. They smoke more cigarettes and munch their way through fatty, unhealthy foods. They're also less likely to exercise regularly and are generally fatter and unfit. Beer and whiskey drinkers fall between these two alcoholic extremes. There was research suggesting that red wine, particularly, was the key protective factor in the French diet that let them eat a lot of high-fat foods and still have less heart disease than the rest of folks. Modest wine drinking actually helped to guard against coronary illness, it was claimed. Researchers claimed that wine contains antioxidants that reduce the activity of free radicals. You know that theory. Anyway, conclusive evidence has been hard to nail down because so many other issues affect longevity and health. So John Barefoot of Duke University, it's the funny name show. That's the theme. I figured it out. And Morten Grønbæk of Copenhagen decided to exploit a long-term health study of 4,500 graduates of North Carolina University. They're all educated, affluent, and white, thus balancing out issues of ethnicity and socioeconomic background, and the drinking habits of all participants were known to researchers. The results, published in the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition, revealed that wine drinkers simply have the best lifestyles regardless of income or socioeconomic status. Beer, spirit, and general drinkers were less healthy, and non-drinkers were the worst. Subjects who preferred wine had healthier diets than those who preferred beer, or had no preference. Wine drinkers reported eating more servings of fruit and vegetables and fewer servings of red or fried meats. Fried meats don't go with wine. The diets of wine drinkers contained less cholesterol, saturated fat, and more fiber. Those who drank no alcohol consumed fewer vegetables and more fiber. Non-drinkers were less likely to exercise regularly and have a higher mean body mass index. Wyand's apparent health benefits may instead be due to the confounding effects of their dietary habits. But now, ask yourself why, and then get back to me, okay? And Vice President Cheney, the administration's indispensable damage control point man, has muzzled himself with the reluctant approval of his boss. Sources told the New York Daily News that with the urging of his lawyers, Cheney has scaled back his crucial public cheerleading role until the Securities and Exchange Commission investigation of his former company, Halliburton Accounting Practices, has been resolved. He's decided to lower his profile, contrary to the urgings of the president, says one official. His handlers have alerted local Republican organizer Cheney won't be holding any press availabilities and have instructed his advance staff to make sure his movements don't bring him near the media. SEC investigations can take months, even years. Bush is described as disappointed but resigned. No, he didn't resign. He's just, that's his mood. The president doesn't want one of his principal assets to go underground, but he also understands that Cheney's got to make the call. Cheney has assured confidence he has nothing to fear from the probe. Says one official, the Halliburton thing is a nothing burger. It'll blow over, but until then, he's being careful. He also is trying to avoid offering a larger target to Democrats. Must not be a wine drinker, having those nothing burgers.
There we go, running before we can walk again. Can you imagine the hours I keep learning to sleep again? See a face again, lost the world. Fruits of the morning all we can break. Carried away to the heart in a storm. Suffered the dawn today. Today, your beautiful daughter made me younger yesterday. Beautiful daughter, now the darkness hides the tears that soak the pillow where she lay. Wide awake, lying in wait for the moon to break. Drinking the length of the dreams that we share, wanting you there today. Today, beautiful daughter, made me younger yesterday. Beautiful daughter, now the darkness hides the tears that soak the pillow where she lay. Can you believe she just dropped in to say goodbye, say goodbye. I'm crying, beautiful daughter, give me more than the dawn. Learning to sleep again, again. Your beautiful daughter made me younger yesterday. Beautiful daughter, now the darkness hides the tears that soak the pillow where she lay. Your beautiful daughter made me younger yesterday. Now the darkness hides the tears that soak the pillow where she lay. Beautiful daughter, give me more than the dawn.
From the second floor conference center.
Don't start there.
Of the.
Mr. Bain, don't start yet. We're not.
Chuck, I started talking.
I know.
No. Oh. From the second floor conference center of what until recently was the Beverly Hills First National Bank and is now available for rental. This is strictly from Blackwell and Blackwell. And people are saying to me and to Spencer more and more. Every day and night, and then the next day after the night, is fashion over? In a time when there's terror and there's corporate whatever, and the headlines are filled with all of this, which cannot be good news for any of us who have a portfolio or have invested in anything, including life itself. Is fashion over? Is there a place for the wondrous look that says, after all has been said, there is still the woman? I think so. And I think so despite the conspiracy of Seventh Avenue and all of those who feed that beast to make fashion a joke, to make fashion just what 8 kids dreamed up one night in a corner. That's fashion, excuse me, while I throw. We have good conversation today with an amazing pair of guests. They are a pair, but they're not a matched pair. They're just a wonderfully contrasting pair, which to me, you know, the matched pair is so kitsch. It's so very, I don't know, just not what we're doing today. Peter Paul James has just burst on the scene like an amazing golden bubble with his television series Linking Up, in which he brings together the living and the past. That is to say, the people who have passed.
That's right.
Not the past itself, no. Because we can never go back there if we could. I swear to God, I would be there now and not here.
No.
But Peter Paul James, you have just the most amazing gift, and you've brought it here, too, strictly from Blackwell. Welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Blackwell. Thank you for asking me to be here.
I did.
It is a gift, and I love bringing, as the show title says, Linking Up, because that's where our spirit friends reside. I like to say that you're never going to see me on my show with my eyes looking down, because the only thing that you can find there is the floor.
And the shoes.
But looking up, you find those who've gone before and those who have passed, and those who can mentor and succor us at our moments and hours of need.
Yeah, that is incredible that they can do that.
Mm-hmm.
Peter Paul James, do you actually hear the voices of spirits? Do you get messages in written, printed form? Mm-hmm. Do you see pictures? How does this gift perform in the playhouse of your mind?
Well, actually, I get more text messages than anything.
Interesting.
Every person who does what I do.
Do you like to think of yourself and call yourself and be known to yourself as a psychic or a sensitive or a what?
I basically am a sensitive.
Okay, good.
I don't predict. I don't see things other than what's in the messages that I'm open enough to receive.
Yes.
And as I say, they're mainly text messages.
Okay.
It's as if, Mr. Blackwell, I'd like to say that inside my mind is a gigantic Times Square headline strip across the front of a great building. I'm just seeing these messages go by as if they're the headlines.
Yeah.
These are the headlines of the real news that people need to hear from those who've passed.
Okay, Peter Paul James, I asked you when we met at that fabulous cocktail party for, I forget what museum.
I think,
would you come in and help contact or try to contact someone or something on this program the way you do on Linking Up, which is your own program, which is so fabulous and so wondrous.
Thank
we see it 3 times a day, and we wish it was on more. I would love for you, if you can and you will and you do, to try to contact Fudge.
Okay. Fudge is a person?
Fudge is a chocolate Abyssinian.
Okay, good. I can accept that. And that's a person?
No, it's okay. It was a 14-year-old cat that passed.
Okay. I'm going to try to contact Fudge.
Good.
And
okay.
Maybe you want to spend a couple minutes with your other guest,
okay.
And
yeah.
I will link up, as I like to say.
Link up, because the show is called Linking Up. And you are... Peter Paul James is looking skyward right now. It's just his gaze and his focus are so... It's like if a laser beam cut a diamond, if that could ever be. Bloger is with us sitting on the other side of the table, and he is the... It's the king. I would love to say the king of Rodeo Drive. Is that fair? The magician of Rodeo Drive, perhaps, or the emperor, or something in there. And he has watched the street rise and the street fall through the years. And in operating a store mm-hmm. where you must make the appointment to go in,
yes.
and the doors are closed, mm-hmm. Bloger has seen all kinds of people on the street. Bloger, welcome to Strictly from Blackwell.
Thank
what
you.
Is happening
yeah.
to the street? Is it over?
It's not over, Mr. Blackwell, but it's changed.
Yeah.
Again, so very much.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You remember 4, 5, 6 years ago.
Oh, of course.
A person would come in, would make the call, make the appointment.
Make the appointment.
Come in.
Yeah.
We would pour him a glass of domestic champagne, Mr. Blackwell.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he would walk out with a jewel-encrusted, snub-nosed revolver.
I remember those. Yeah.
Price point, at least $32,000.
At least.
On the barrelhead.
Indeed. You know.
And today,
yeah.
The people that call,
yeah.
make the appointment, then come in.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, you could pour 2 magnums
yeah.
of the good champagne down these people, and they would not walk out with mm-hmm. anything mink.
Yeah.
It's all changed.
Okay, this is a tragedy.
It's all over.
I know.
Yeah.
It is a tragedy.
Well,
and
yeah.
the interesting thing to me,
mm-hmm.
Bloger,
yes.
is that you hear people up and down Rodeo Drive saying, oh, no, everything's fine.
Yes.
Our customer doesn't care.
That's right.
Our customer
That's right.
is above mm-hmm. all these mm-hmm. problems. And I just have to laugh.
Well,
and I just have to cry.
You have to cry because it's a joke.
Yeah.
It's a big, bad joke, Mr.
Yeah.
Black.
Yeah.
If I had... If I had $1 million
yeah, yeah.
for every merchant on Rodeo Drive who's living in dreamland right now,
yeah.
I wouldn't have to make the cologne anymore.
No,
I tell you that.
You'd be a very wealthy man. Not to say, Peter Paul James,
yes.
you have contact, you have linked up?
I have linked up
Incredible.
With Fudge.
Incredible.
And
yeah.
Fudge is telling me, Mr. Blackwell.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That he or she, I'm not sure.
He.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
I can accept that. Fudge
Good.
Is hungry.
Fudge is hungry.
Fudge wants food.
I knew it. Spencer told me he fed Fudge. And
what's that? Excuse me. Fudge says that... Oh, he's always... He was always hungry. He always wanted food. It wasn't specific to the moment before passing.
Okay, good. Because
he does...
Yeah.
He's telling me.
Yeah. This is.
He's telling me that he believes Rodeo Drive is in for a turnaround within the next year and a half.
Next year and a half,
mm-hmm.
Bloger.
Yeah.
What do you think of that?
This
is from Fudge.
I understand that, Mr. Blackwell.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what I think.
Okay. Good.
I think if you want to take real estate advice from a cat,
no.
then you should ask me.
Yeah.
For golden crusted kibble, I will sell you.
Golden.
All right? I mean, please. This street will not be back in my lifetime. I don't know about yours.
Don't.
No, I'm not differing, but Fudge begs to differ and says that even Tommy Hilfiger will be back on the street before long.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable that a cat should have such sensitivity to what is going on in the retail and the real estate sector in these troubled times. Peter Paul James, the host of Linking Up, which is seen so many times every day that we cannot possibly keep up. And Bloger, who has become a household word in every household worth mentioning. The time has come where we must link down. Please thank Fudge for me.
I will,
Peter Paul.
He says, yeah. Please don't bother with the golden crusted cat food. He misses you.
I miss him too. Next time, the Fallen Winter Outlook, wear black. It is the new black. Till then, Strictly from Blackwell. Bye-bye.
and I play in every town. 'Cause I'm trying to find my baby, but no one has seen around. Now you know which way I'm heading. If my baby can't be found, can't be found. Well, I spoke to the river, and the river spoke back to me, and it said, "You look so lonely. You look full of misery, full of misery. And if you can't find a baby, come and make your home with me. Make your home."
The latest, as of this broadcast, is that one of the miners is in a hyperbaric chamber now, you know, one of those oxygen chambers. And the reason it took so long for them to get him into that chamber is it just took a while to persuade Michael Jackson to leave it. Ladies and gentlemen, that concludes this edition of the show. The program returns next week at the same time over these same stations, over NPR worldwide throughout Europe on the USEN 440 cable system in Japan, around the world through the American Forces Network on shortwave. And they're getting shorter all the time at WBCQ The Planet, 7.415 megahertz. And around the world, whenever you want it, on your computer at two locations, www.kcrw.com and www.harryshearer.com. How'd that work? And it would be just like shock jock Mikey Esparza getting back on the air and cracking us up if you'd agree to join with me then, would you? All righty. Thank you very much. The email address for this broadcast is lemail, L-E-M-A-I-L, at interworld.net. Le Show Internet Services by Steve Mack. Think $1.7 billion and you can see PBS in digital. Just keep thinking about that. The show comes to you from Century of Progress Productions and originates through the facilities of SAS, a satellite service of KCRW Santa Monica, a community recognized around the world as the home of the homeless.